Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev. Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National Indigenous Radio Service. You can have your saber calls from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours, welcome Black to National Talk Black. Have you say you mob yarn up strong. We're going to catch up a yarn with it, have a yarn there with the distinguished professor, Stuart Lockie, who began his research career investigating the evolution of impacts of environmental policy and agriculture. And this has been since then extended to studies of biodiversity, conservation, environmental standards, markets in ecosystem services, food security, coastal management, research, resource development, management of natural and industrial hazards. Research City, Professor Stuart, how are you? Good morning.
G'day, Trevor. I am good, thanks.
Good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Professor, where are you operating from?
I'm based in the Cairns Institute at JCU in Cairns.
JCU, okay, thank you very much. So a lot of research in all different fields there. So tell us about the hunger for the research and the reason for it and your profession in this field.
Yeah, well, look, thanks, Trevor. You list all those things, it just makes me sound old.
There you go. We're students for life, aren't we, Professor?
We are. When I was a student enrolled at uni, in the early days, I went to uni because it's what you did. And, I was there a couple of years and I just started to get excited about stuff I was learning. I started to get excited about thinking I was starting to understand a bit about the world. I'm sure I didn't understand very much, but...
But when you say studying, Professor, what did you study? Research. What did you start to study?
I started in agriculture.
Okay.
And then I studied social sciences.
All right. And it branches off, doesn't it, into different areas, and then it tweaks your hunger for more information?
Oh, look, absolutely, because, most of my work has been in environmental management, but it's all about people.
Yes.
You look at, here in Cairns we've got, we're surrounded by protected areas, World Heritage areas, these incredible natural assets. Mm. But that's true anywhere you go in this country, and it's true wherever you go in the world. Everywhere you go, there's beautiful ecosystems. But it's all about the people who live there, who look after them, who value them. And so that's what took me into social sciences.
I suppose government's got to be at the table in regarding looking after, preserving and protecting our beautiful Mother Earth, yes?
Oh, look, absolutely.
It's a team effort.
Absolutely. Everybody's got to be involved.
Exactly. And so talk about the area that you've been working in recently.
Well, a lot of our work at the moment is focused in the Great Barrier Reef, and there's two big projects happening at the moment. Mm-hmm. One is focused on an existing sort of management issue, which is crown of thorns starfish, which are out of balance and cause, they're one of the three main causes of damage to coral.
Mm-hmm.
And the other big project is around reef restoration and adaptation. So that's looking at new techniques that we might use to help reefs recover.
Sure.
And adapt to escalating climate impacts.
Okay, let's talk about the crown of thorns starfish. That is a marine animal, is it not? So it's become a pest, could you say? And it's damaging the reef?
Look, absolutely. It's a native animal.
Yes.
It's been around as long as there's been coral reefs around, and it happily chews away on them. But for a number of reasons, over the last few decades, crown of thorns has started to become a problem. A little bit like the wallabies in my vegetable garden.
Okay.
Having wallabies around, but when they eat...
Cane toads, wild pigs, similar.
Exactly. Exactly.
So exactly. So but then man steps in. I know there's a different, well, if not tourism operators, university, graduates, marine biologists out there, how you say, trying to balance the crown of thorn starfish, killing them off, but we got to be careful they're not interfering with Mother Nature in a way, but also protect the Great Barrier Reef. So there needs to be a deadly balance, you could say.
Oh, absolutely. So I think there's at least two really big research questions there for us. One is where controlling crown of thorn starfish will be effective, because nobody wants to go and kill every crown of thorn starfish on the reef. It's just about stopping those big population spikes. And the other one is, well, you know, you can't be everywhere controlling everything.
Mm.
So what do communities value and prioritise, and especially what do traditional owners of sea country and the reef?
Well, exactly. And leading to my next question, are First Nation people, are they at the table in regard to the balance of a Great Barrier Reef?
Oh, look, absolutely.
And they need to be, yes.
Well, they need to be. And you know, it's easy to start. We throw around words like co-management, and sometimes probably a lot of traditional owners are still a bit sceptical about that.
Mm.
But I think we've got a lot to learn in terms of how to involve traditional owners in a way that respects their rights, respects their knowledge, provides benefits back to the community,
mm-hmm.
and helps improve relationships with the wider community so that, you know, everybody can see the value that traditional owners are bringing to reef management.
Well, exactly, and you as a professor in your field, and when you're talking about traditional owners, and especially the elders, they're professors in their field in regarding their sea, country and land, yes? So you need to be having that conversation together.
Look, absolutely, absolutely. My expertise is just different, and my job here is just to help almost with the translation, find ways that we can involve people from very different backgrounds,
yep.
very, very, very different historic understanding of the reef, and figure out how we bring them together in a way that's productive for everybody.
Good.
Because we don't just want to be bugging traditional owners all the time, you know, come to this, come to that, you know, like, what do you think, and they get nothing out of it.
Sure.
We've got to see that it has a real influence.
Well, exactly. Be productive when you are catching up, and it's not so much quantity but quality conversations.
Absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic. And so, and what, that's the Great Barrier Reef. And what about the land side of things? Same thing applies.
Look, absolutely, the same thing applies. We're in the process at the moment of setting up a regional network across tropical North Queensland of organisations looking at how to manage climate extremes, especially drought. And we're involving Indigenous organisations in that process. You know, I guess if I could just say, like, you know, what's different to what we're doing now to what we're doing 20 years ago, Trevor? 20 years ago, if government was putting together one of these projects or programs, and I said to them, hey, are we going to do anything with traditional owners or with Indigenous landholders? They would just say,
non-existent.
Not a priority.
If you black, stay back.
They're on the unproductive land. They're not involved. It's too hard.
Mm.
We haven't got enough money. We might do some sort of harm. And we treat people like they're unimportant, or as if they're kind of precious little things that'll get damaged if we go and talk to them.
Okay. But and it's all changed, of course,
talking.
Yes.
We're
yes.
talking. We're not there. You know, like, we haven't figured out how to do everything, but at least we're talking.
So, Professor, let me ask you this. Have you picked up deadly information from our First Nation people when at the table since the conversation started?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, a while ago, I'm thinking 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I met an elder who used to live down near Springshore, and I learned so much from that from that guy.
Mm.
He not only about land management in that area and how to manage things like, you know, introduced weeds, given that the ecosystem had changed, but also about my own family.
Yeah.
He knew stuff that I didn't know about my own, about myself.
There you go. And in actual fact, and we strongly believe, ancestors work strong with us, you know, your ancestors as well. That meeting was meant to happen. That conversation was meant to happen.
Yeah. It was a really powerful experience for me, you know, not just the information I learned. Because, you know, in some senses, you know, you have that when you talk to graziers and government, you know, often the graziers have got information. They've got a perspective that the government needs to hear.
Mm.
They need to listen to people who've been out on the land their whole working life.
Exactly.
And, you know, traditional owners and other Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, you know, even when they've been moved around, you know, they've got that long association with the land, and you need to listen.
Exactly. Hey, look, a beautiful conversation. I want to keep moving, but we're going to keep in touch. Professor Stewart, thank you very much for sharing. All the best to your team, your family there. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
Thanks. You too, Trevor.
Take care. Bye-bye. There it is, distinguished Professor Stewart Lockie, and talk about the research that he's doing, especially with the crown of thorn starfish and also on the mainland here, but also the inclusion of First Nation people and our elders in regarding the conversations as a professor, yarning with our professors, our elders. There it is. Have you say, yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. That's Jeffrey Gumerl and Crocodile Man here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say, yarn up strong, your mob. Add to the conversation here with Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, the host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up with Deadly Sister Alison McCullen and Director of Admissions at Charles Wool, looking after our Piccaninnies. Very good morning. Hey, not there. Hey, Alison, where are you? Give me a call back. Add to the conversation. We're talking about a one-year free childcare at Kindy Zone Early Learning Centres. So there you mob. Especially mob here in Cairns. You can win one year for free having your child in care. So there it is. We'll talk about that. And you can add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. We'll try again with Alison McCullen on the line. You there? Good morning, Alison.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Got you, lost you, but found you. Now, Director of Admissions, Charles Will. Under the pump, when we're talking about the precious cargo of our beautiful children, but you got an opportunity for family members out there to win 1 year free childcare at Kindy Zone, Early Learning Centre.
Yeah.
Yep. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So we've got a competition happening at, not so much a competition, obviously like a promotion. So you can enter via our website and what you'll get is one lucky person will get the opportunity to have a free childcare for a year. So no hidden
genders, nothing. Yes.
Yeah, so...
Is that for already clients or this for new clients?
No, anyone. So anyone obviously in the Cairns community, you don't have to be enrolled. And it's randomly picked, so all the names literally go into a big box and just hand chucked in and plucked a name out.
Good.
You got to be in it to win it kind of thing.
Lovely.
And also, we've got a couple of centres in Cairns, so you know, depending where you live in Cairns, you can choose which centre you would like to have that free. So it doesn't necessarily have to be at Kindy Zone in Mount Sheridan. It can be at Child's World or Kindy Zone in Manura. So whatever suits your family better.
Okay, yeah. Fantastic. And so how do people enter?
So just on our website, if you go to www.kindyzone.com.au and just follow the link to win free childcare and enter your details and you're in.
So 1 year. So what sort of costing are we looking at saving there for a family?
It depends because it's different for everyone. So, it depends.
Okay.
It's hard to put a figure on that.
Sure.
But, and that includes everything as well, like all the meals. We got the bus that can pick up and
okay.
drop the children
So that all comes with the class. With the 1 year free, for the free childcare, yep?
Yeah, dance classes, PE, centre excursions, like it covers everything.
That is a beautiful Christmas present.
It is.
Fantastic.
And, you know, they might be looking for childcare till next year, so it's a perfect time to enter. So it might be first-time family getting ready to put their children in early education.
Yeah,
so,
well, you're getting young couples out there probably fired up and says, honey, let's go home. Yeah. Let's finish work for the day early. Here's an opportunity.
Yeah, that's right.
That's fantastic. That's good. So how long have you been with Child's World, Alison?
Since they opened, so going on 10 years now.
Whoa, good girl.
Yeah.
So you're a local girl, are you?
Yeah, born and bred in Cairns.
Well, there you go. And, of course, the owners are local people. A big shout-out, Tanya.
Yeah, beautiful local family.
They are.
Giving back to the community.
And I won a grand final in rugby league football with Tanya's brother, John. So big shout-out, Big John.
Oh, cool.
We've always got to talk football, Alison. You've got to chuck football, no matter what conversation we're talking about. Crown of Thorns, starfish, pandemic, COVID-19. Let's talk rugby league. Well, I hand the ball back to you. Thank you very much for the yarn. So all the mob out there, especially here in Cairns area, go to the webpage there and put in your application or put in your opportunity to win 1 year free childcare. Beautiful.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Take care, sister. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
See
you,
bye.
That's Alison McCallan, her name is, Director of Admissions, Child's World, and they one of our major sponsors here for this daily program, National Talkback. Do support, do appreciate their support, and an opportunity for Cairns local mob here to win 1 year free childcare at Kindy Zone Early Learning Centres. So do check it out and put in the form. Even if you've got kids going to this daycare, you can still fill it out. You know, I mean, you're paying your fees. How would you like to not pay fees for 1 year, 12 months? Shut your mouth. Loan there, your shout. Have you say Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Taste.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernighan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
I had a dream last night about a world gone bad. No one appreciated the things they had. Little brothers and sisters crying in the depths of despair. No one is. Well, people, don't you know, it don't cost a thing to care. I had a dream last night about a world gone cold. We lost touch with our disregarded the old, and the songs of hope faded like a distant prayer. No one did. Well, people, don't you know, it don't cost a thing.
Had a dream last night. Black Image Band, Too Deadly Your Mob, big shout out. Hopewell Mob, hope you're well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Yarn Up with the Baldy One here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your dingy country BBM 99.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. We're going to catch up with Marshall on the line. Marshall, good morning.
Good morning, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. How are you going, bro?
Oh, yeah, not too bad. I'm living the life in Brisbane.
In Brisbane, yes. Big shout. Brisbane, Vegas. Big shout out to Mob.
Oh, yeah, and all the shout out to all that Mob there in Cairns and all your local listeners and all the rest of it. Mate, just a quick call on a couple of points of that journalist that you were speaking to yesterday. And, he really rubbed me up the wrong way.
Oh, Chris Graham. Chris Graham.
Yeah, I've got a few things to take to Chris.
Yep.
And, he's a journalist, mate. He's like all the journalists, and they've got some agenda, obviously, at times. And some of the stuff that they report is incorrect. And it's wrong.
Okay, you tell us what he was reporting was incorrect, brother.
Well, in regards to housing, not only just within Wilcannia, but housing in Kawanyama, housing in Lockhart River, housing in Pompa and every other community, there was funding given by the federal government as a national housing program for Indigenous communities. And each community was given... and state first and foremost, was given so much to deliver housing in Aboriginal communities.
And how come we have no houses?
Yes, on the number of houses. And it was up to the state to ensure that they put those houses in those communities that each state was given.
And there's no houses in the community. We're still under house for our mob.
Of course. And we fought for funding to get it, and it wasn't delivered by the states, and that funding was taken back if it wasn't delivered. So it was up to the state to deliver the housing. For him to say that the states were not looking after the community is incorrect. That's incorrect.
But we have no houses. We've got housing problems.
Yes, but the state was given funding to deliver the housing. Why was it not delivered?
Yeah, okay, there lies the question, but we have no housing. And so now we're in a pandemic with COVID-19 and 30 motorhomes were delivered to Wilcannia for isolation.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, when I was in Lockhart River, you know how they delivered housing for us? When we were giving our housing funding and we were supposed to put housing on the ground in our community, you know what the state done to us? They delivered houses on backs of trucks. They were all supposed to be built by local employment, create employment within the communities. They could not deliver the housing. The state could not deliver the housing. So what they went...
So why wasn't it done?
Why wasn't it done? Because the state didn't deliver. And it's local. And it's local as well. It's all based on local as well. It should have been those homes in Wilcannia and every other Indigenous community. There was a national housing program across this nation for community, and they were supposed to be delivered.
And so with houses not being delivered and no houses in the communities, and now we are in a pandemic, that creates the problem in regard to the spreading of the disease. Because overcrowded houses, yes?
Definitely. I'm not disagreeing with that. But it was up to the state to deliver. It was up to the state to deliver, and also not only the state, but the community themselves. Every community within the nation was given a housing allocation underneath the National Housing Program. They had to deliver it. Every other state and territory within the country and the nation didn't deliver the housing that they were supposed to. Queensland was the only state that allocated the houses to Yarrabah, Lockhart River, Palm Island, Warrabinda, Goomadgee, Kawanyama, Pompera.
So you're saying those communities you just mentioned, they have no housing problems now?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the state delivered the housing. The state delivered the housing that was allocated.
and we still have problems with housing.
Yes, because they took the national housing program away.
And that's why it puts our people vulnerable in regards to a pandemic. Overcrowded houses, the spread of the disease.
Very much so.
Yes.
Very much so. Very much so. But it was up to the state to deliver it. They were given the housing allocation, but they did not deliver it.
And the other thing that Chris Drain was talking about was about the internet services. There's no internet in Wilcannia.
Yeah. There's internet in Lockhart River. Yeah, there's internet in Lockhart River, a mobile service, until you drive 5 k's out of town.
Mm. We're talking about in the town.
But Wilcannia would be able to have internet if they go satellite, and there's a national program across this country that allows for satellite. And if you go to satellite, which costs nothing to install, and I installed it when I was living in Lockhart River, and it's a national program where you can have satellite. So why do they not have satellite?
What was the role you played there in the communities, Cape York?
What role did I play?
Yeah, what was your where'd you work and what'd you do?
I was a local government councillor for 2 terms, 8 years, local government, when Aboriginal communities became local government shires. First elected white man on Aboriginal council.
And moved on from that, yes?
I spent 18 years in Lockhart River.
And what are you doing now, Marshall?
What do I do now? I'm retired.
Okay.
I'm retired now. Right. And I spent 18 years in community, in one community. I lived and worked in Warrabinda for 5.
Mm-hmm.
I've lived and worked in Doomadgee. I've lived and worked in Kawanyama. And
enjoy your time now. We're talking 18 years, so you would have enjoyed your time working with our mob in community.
So. Very much so, because I represented the people. Mm-hmm. I represented the people, and I was elected to represent the people.
You must have strong relationship and friendships with our mob in the Cape.
Oh, very much so.
Yep.
Very much so.
And so there it is.
And love to all my godchildren there as well.
Deadly brother, deadly, deadly, deadly. So, yeah, so you're saying in regard to correction of what Chris Graham was stating?
Yeah, I it's just like there are other services out there. He's saying there's no mobile service. Okay, there's no mobile service, but there's internet because there's satellite.
So when we have a yarn with Chris, we'll get you on and we'll yarn about it further, yes.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd like that.
Thanks, Marshall. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, have a great night, Chris.
Thank you, mate. That's Marshall calling from Brisbane, having his say regarding Chris Drame, who talked to yesterday regarding the Wilcannia situation and the COVID-19 and also internet services in that small community of Wilcannia. And big shout out to you, mob there, Wilcannia. Thinking of you, mob there, Wilcannia. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416.
Stripped you of your pride, took you away, a little child, cast you out and hope you'd never be found. Your wounded heart was in despair, bitterness had lodged and rooted there. You have wandered for so long, now it's time to come on home and let Jesus take your heavy load. Your colour as a platform to be heard. Let me tell you from the start to take Jesus in your heart, and he'll help you make a brand new start. Sinful, foolish heart, right from the very start, couldn't hide the shame of your game. Though your skin may be white, makes no difference in God's sight. You are not superior, you're a fool to think you are. You're deceived and you will not get very far. Hey, black man, you say the white man stole your land. Hey, white man, you tried to wipe the black man off this land. You speak to one another angry words. Use your color as a platform to be heard. Let me tell you from the start to take Jesus in your heart, and he'll help you make a brand new start. Let me tell you from the start to take Jesus in your heart, and he'll help you make a brand new start.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive
Yeah, that's Herb Patton there, Gumleaf War Medley, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong. Give me a call, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumrabrip Media, 19.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Jews Radio Service. All right, we're going to catch up with Yarn now with Liam Effick, Associate Lecturer in the Faculty of Law. And the question asking here is, mandating COVID-19 vaccination discrimination. I'm going to catch over Jan now. Liam, you there? Good morning.
Yeah, I am. Thanks for having me on, Trevor.
Thank you very much for coming along. So where are you based, Liam?
I'm in Melbourne, so post-earthquake Melbourne.
There it is, earthquake, COVID-19, lockdowns. It's all happening. If you don't rain, a pause. Look, thinking of you guys, thank you so very much for coming to the program. Yeah, so we're talking about discrimination laws, prohibit distinctions based on particular attributes, which are largely traits we cannot change and have been used to justify the marginalisation of entire communities, such as sex, race, disability and sexuality. So let's talk COVID-19 vaccination. Is it discriminative?
No, so my view is not at the moment that any sort of vaccine mandates within Australia would be discriminatory. I mean, we don't have a huge amount right now. Obviously, we have some sort of mandates in aged care and healthcare and quarantine workers that the federal government and the state governments have set, but this has really come up more recently in Melbourne and Sydney around sort of reopening plans and whether you allow people who are fully vaccinated into cafes and restaurants and bars and whether you require them to be vaccinated or require the staff to be vaccinated. So my view at the moment is no, that this is not discrimination. We don't have an attribute in our discrimination law that lists choosing not to be vaccinated against COVID-19, unlike the other attributes that you just talked about. So we prohibit discrimination based on sex, on race, on disability, on sexuality. Those sort of innate characteristics that people can't change. but we haven't got to protect that for those choosing not to be vaccinated. There's probably a different question, though, for those who can't get vaccinated, and there's some more issues there.
Sure. So no jab, no entry. Businesses can run with that?
Yep. I think at the moment that's certainly the case, and we're all used to businesses setting a whole range of different conditions of entry. So some of them we like, some of them we don't. No thongs, no singlets, things like that. You know, nightclubs refuse entry to those who are too intoxicated. We have age limits on licensed venues. Business owners are allowed to set those conditions really as much as they want.
Yes.
As long as those conditions don't breach discrimination laws. And we don't want to see discrimination happen here, but what we're really talking about here is, I suppose, a differentiation or a distinction between different people based on health risks, rather than discrimination based on what is set down in discrimination law. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really important difference to point out.
So regarding no jab, no entry, how do people confirm or prove that they have taken the jab?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think the state governments are working on this at the moment to try and embed that within the contact tracing apps that they use.
Yes.
So when you're checking in with a QR code or something like that, the vaccination status would be part of it, so that for those venues, only those who are fully vaccinated can actually check in.
Yes.
Obviously, that's not going to work for everyone, and I'm thinking especially about rural and remote communities where that might not be as easily done. So I would call on the governments to make sure there are alternatives available as well, where maybe it needs to be a certificate printed out from a doctor or from a medical practitioner, something you can get from the Medicare app or the Medicare website, something that would make it accessible so that we're not making this too difficult for people.
Exactly. Look at the new world we live in. For people who, everybody's got a health record, and then there's got all your contact details, example, your mobile phone, which is what we use in regarding checking into a place like so. So that could be added in there if you've got the jab, yes?
Yes, yeah. I'm not in the inner workings of government as to what they're planning on this.
Sure.
But I think that's sort of been the suggestion that that's how they're going to do this. I think as well, and I hope that, you know, the government are the ones who would be able to enforce this and make sure that people are doing the right thing. I don't think we want to see situations of individual business owners having to make these really difficult decisions.
Exactly.
You know, it's a pandemic. It's a really difficult risk environment. Hopefully the governments can step in, as they have, I think, largely in Victoria and New South Wales, and sort of set down rules that they think should apply based on the risk of COVID right now, how much it might spread, the fact that indoor venues are really risky and that we can use vaccines to protect people.
Okay, fantastic. Liam, thank you very much for shedding some light on this. All the best. You look, stay safe in more ways than one, buildings as well as COVID-19, my friend.
Thank you. I'll try and live through all the different apocalypses we're going through.
You Thanks take so care, mate. Bye bye. Deadly young there. Liam Effick, his name is, Associate Lecturer in the Faculty of Law, and regarding shedding light on the question, is mandating COVID-19 vaccination discrimination? And actual fact is no, as per the law, so no jab, no entry. Businesses, hotels, pubs, what have you, are allowed to use that rule in regarding no jab, no entry, and has not been discriminative. So there's the question, but how we have on our phones or when we do check-in, if we have been jabbed, how do we perform that, whether you're carrying a certificate as such to enter into a place. There it is. That's the world we live in, and blessed are the flexible is what I always say. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. About 9 minutes left on the program. Long way from home, Knuckles Band. Have a listen.
Just go with
Yeah, long way from home. Knuckles Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Going to catch up with Solwyn. Good morning, my brother. How are you?
All right, brother. Yeah, brother. Yeah, quit down there now. Cairns Central's a crime scene, brother.
It is unfortunate. There's been a death down at Cairns Central. It's all locked, blocked off, and we don't know. I think the individual has been is in question, has been apprehended by the police, but we don't, that's all we know at this point in time. Yeah, sad.
Yeah, first thing at Blackfellow, we ask him, well, is there a Murray? You know, what did a Murray, but, you know. Mm. But, brother, I was on Facebook on Crime Watch, and, I tell you what, that's where I first learned it, but I got to get one of them scanners, brother, but I'm heard so much about them. Mm. But, brother, I thought today was, I'm going to say hello to Chuk Chuk, and I guided it towards this program. I thought, which way yarning come on today, but is it tomorrow, brother?
Which way yarning? Yes, it's on to, where is it? No, which way? No, it didn't happen today. Senior Constable McColl's on holidays, I believe.
Maybe tomorrow, but I'll try to quick now, brother. Brother, gee, isn't it good to know that it's not, we're not discriminatory, this COVID stuff, you know?
Yes.
And not discriminatory / racist, brother. We're all in this together, you know?
Yes.
When they come off, like, you know, he just said, come off the Ruby Princess, you know, they went back into the community, and then Murray's from my community, from Palm Island, they were put up in Townsville using biosecurity law. And, brother, what happened with Belarus, what he said about Wilcannia, brother, and all them arms going out there, well, you know, we're all in this together, brother, we're all being treated equally. But it's good to hear Marshall and Chris Graham.
Chris Graham, yes, that's right, that, 2 points.
Yeah, brother, and I forgot what I was going to say now. But anyway, I'm back on that crime watch stuff, brother. You know, like, I see a lot of stuff that said, and they can, I'm going to know if the other members that, you know, if the coppers misses, or they off duty policemen got to say those things, and it's sort of, it's such a sick sometimes, or like, done wrong. But I ask Chuk Chuk, and she's a middle woman, and she's talking on behalf of Murray that, had some issues up at the police station for one child. All the other child are really good. But one of the things I like I often say before, a police public relations officer's job is to foster a good relationship between the public and the police. And the next best thing is Brother Rory Orangewood and his concept coming up with a new show, coming up with having a bullyman on the show, brother.
Yeah.
And that's how, and I even tell the white, you know, like the white people on that crime watch, if they got issues, you know, with us, and because they always
have a platform to have a conversation both ways.
Sorry, brother?
Yeah, to create a platform to have a conversation both ways.
Yeah, they can come on here. Mm. And again, brother, on that caller about it's not discriminatory, and again, like I say, it's like telling a woman what's sexist and what isn't sexist. And we know, brother, we know from lived experience how we call it that. Discriminatory or racist, brother. We know we are being treated differently, brother.
Yes.
Thank you very much, brother.
Nah, thank you, my brother. Too deadly. Someone there, regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Look, you deadly mob, thank you very much for your company. It's come to the time where Murray got a sign off here. I'm back in the hot seat again tomorrow on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. But 24/7, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. And like I said, we're going across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say. Yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. All right, a big shout out to Bolodong Mob, and this is requesting a song, Like a River, Megan Ugle and David Hines. So that's the message. We'll try and find that song for you guys, and we'll come up to the news here very soon on NIRS, National Jesus Radio Service. And big shout out to the team down that way their house at the First Station Radio Station in Brisbane, BEMA, Brisbane Digital Media Station. So there it is. We'll try and find that song, you mob. And take care of yourself. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are in a pandemic. Abide by the rules and look after yourself. Too deadly.